is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Prime Time. I'm Scott Satterberg with you here on the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live, as we have lots to get to here on this Wednesday evening. We have not a full slate because several games rained out already in Major League Baseball. Well, we'll get to the games coming up in Major League Baseball in a little bit. We have to preview tomorrow's Game 6 of the NBA Finals, where the Oklahoma City Thunder will look to close out the Indiana Pacers, and the status of Tyrese Haliburton certainly is up in the air. But without further ado, we are minutes away from our game of the night, so let's get to it.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Not wasting any time getting right into it, because we're about 6 minutes away from the start of the College World Series game between Arkansas and LSU. This is a rematch of both teams' opening game on Saturday, in which LSU was the victor. So if LSU wins tonight, they will clinch their spot in the championship series against Coastal Carolina, who defeated Louisville earlier today 11-3, covering a 2.5 run line spread. Coastal with the nation's longest active winning streak, 26 straight wins now for the Chanticleers. And who will they take on in the championship series? It will either be LSU or Arkansas. If Arkansas is able to win here tonight and avoid elimination, they will force another game tomorrow between these two teams, these two SEC foes. This game's going to be interesting tonight. Arkansas was the favorite. They opened up as a short favorite. They were bet more heavily and heavily. Money coming in on the Razorbacks, pushing them now up to a minus 145 favorite over LSU. They were much shorter, about 130 or so, when the teams first played each other on Saturday. And that game is going to look different than this game here tonight. That game on Saturday featured starting pitchers, featured ace pitchers on the mound for both squads. Low scoring game, 4-1 was the finish. Tonight, we have a total of 10.5 that has actually been pushed up to 11 at most sports books. Here at Circa, total is 11, with the over actually at minus 125. And here at Circa, breaking news, more money coming in on the Arkansas Razorbacks as we are minutes away from first pitch there in Omaha. Arkansas now minus 155 favorites, with a total of 11, minus 125 to the over. Both of these teams will be using openers in this game tonight. I actually lean towards the under, and I know money has come in pushing this total to go over, but I actually lean towards the under, because if this is going to be a bullpen day for both of these teams, who do have arms available in the bullpen. Now, some of these arms haven't pitched in a while, and could they be some of the, you know, lesser used guys, because you certainly have gone through the top tier arms already here in this College World Series, especially for Arkansas facing elimination in the past few games. But if this is going to be a mix and match type of game from the bullpen, both managers trying to get the outs one at a time, or three at a time, you know, get one inning at a time out of your bullpen, I actually think this lends towards an under game. And so seeing this total get jacked up to 11 and being juiced at the over, take a little plus money price on an under 11, I actually like that. That's what I lean here in this game. Again, non-traditional starters are starting for both Arkansas and LSU, and I think both managers have a short leash tonight because of the importance of this game, maybe more so for Arkansas than for LSU, because LSU does have the cushion of being able to come back tomorrow and play if they lose tonight. But for Arkansas, this is the elimination spot. And so you have to get every out that you can. The innings are magnified. So I think this is going to be a type of, as some would say, overmanaged game, like we see a lot of the times in the Major League Baseball postseason, where the starter gets pulled after 2-3 innings, and then it's just bullpen pitcher after relief pitcher after relief pitcher after relief pitcher but those games tend to go under. I lean under here in this game tonight. On the side, I'm already on Arkansas. I think they win tonight. I actually loved the bet on Arkansas. After they lost that first game on Saturday, that you could have gotten them at plus 600 to plus 650 to win the College World Series. Now, they were the favorite coming in to the tournament. They suffered the loss to LSU, but here they are with an opportunity to win a game tonight, win a game tomorrow, and advance to the championship series. And if they do that, they will become the favorites to win the championship series. Right now, LSU is plus 125. Coastal is plus 150. Arkansas, you can still get them at plus 330. That's not a great price because they have to win today. They have to win tomorrow. You're better off just doing money line rollovers every single time with Arkansas. So ignore that plus 330 for a moment. But should Arkansas win tonight and win tomorrow, they will be favored over Coastal Carolina in that championship series. So Arkansas is the best team. They were the best team coming into this tournament. Great game by LSU on Saturday to get that victory in the first game, the opening game. But then Arkansas showed what they were made of in the next two games, winning, avoiding elimination. And here they are tonight with a chance to force another game tomorrow. So give me Arkansas already on it. Right now you can still get it at minus, now minus 155 as the line keeps inflating with money coming in late as we are about to start there in Omaha. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSiN Live. Major League Baseball, just one game is in progress right now, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins. No score in the bottom of the second inning in Miami. Philly closed as a pretty sizable favorite in this game with Ranger Suarez on the mound and making the start for Miami. His first start of the season was Adam Mazur getting his first start of the season here for Miami. So Philly was a sizable favorite. One thing to note about Philly, Nick Castellanos in the lineup tonight. Wasn't in the lineup last night, in the lineup tonight for Philadelphia. Philly closed at minus 184. Here at Circa, and taking a look at the live markets right now, as we're only into the second inning with no score, but we're only into the second inning. Philly's still a minus 189 favorite live up on DraftKings with a total of 6.5. So we should have had more games in progress already, but there's been rain delays and there's been games that have been postponed as Mother Nature is playing her role in tonight's sports schedule. We have a rain delay between the Rockies and the Nationals from D.C. as Colorado looks for their fourth straight victory. And the Nationals, meanwhile, have dropped 10 in a row. This team is slumping hard. We are also in a rain delay in Cincinnati between the Reds and the Twins, and postponements. Already we know the Pirates and Tigers will not play today. That game will be made up tomorrow. And Tarek Skubal was supposed to be on the mound. We were going to bet him in the first five innings here tonight and lay the half a run, but not going to have that opportunity as there will be no game tonight. That'll be made up tomorrow. Also, what will be made up coming up tomorrow is the Cardinals and the White Sox. That game has been postponed. Brewers and Cubs postponed as well. So we're going to have a lot of baseball here on Thursday where we weren't supposed to. We will have more games here on Thursday and some double dips, in fact. A lot of baseball to be played with the weather delays. We are moments away from the first pitch in the Bronx. The Yankees hosting the Angels, and history could be made tonight in the Bronx. And it's not the good kind of history. The New York Yankees have not scored a run in 29 consecutive innings. They have been shut out for three consecutive games for the first time since September of 2016. Tonight, the Yankees face the Angels. Jack Kokanowicz is on the mound for LA. Ryan Yarbrough going for the Angels. For the Yankees. The Yankees cannot get shut out tonight. They just can't. I will tell you this when I say history is on the line. The New York Yankees have never been shut out in four consecutive games. That is a record that goes back over 100 years. The Yankees have never been shut out in four consecutive games. It had been almost 10 years since they were shut out in three consecutive games, never in four straight. There was not, it wasn't necessarily a players-only meeting, like a closed-door players-only meeting, but the players, there was a meeting. At least that's what's coming out of the reports in the Bronx, is that some players did get together and have a talk with each other in the clubhouse because they got to figure this out. This team is slumping in a really bad way. Shut out in three consecutive games, and it's not exactly like you're facing the aces of these staffs. Like, these pitchers that are pitching for L.A. are I'm trying to be polite here. Middle-of-the-road starters, and the Yankees can't score a run. They had four hits the other day. And it's not just being shut out in these three consecutive games that's concerning. Look at the performance before that. The last time they scored a run was in the ninth inning of that 4-3 loss to the Red Sox. Prior to that game against the Red Sox where they lost 4-3, they lost 2-1, so they only scored one run. Prior to that, they beat the Royals 1-0. So we're looking at a stretch right now as the Yankees have lost five straight games. But going back even further, in their last six games, the Yankees have scored five total runs. Something's got to change in the Bronx. If they break out of this tonight in a big way, and if they go and score a ton of runs and everyone's going to feel good about themselves, okay. As we see a tweet there from Ryan Field of ABC. If this slump continues and they get shut out tonight or only score one run tonight, something's going to change. Now, I'm not saying Aaron Boone, the manager, is going to be out, but there could be a change. Batting coach, hitting coach, whatever, offensive coordinator, like the Rangers called it, whatever, or a lineup tweak. Something's going to change with the Yankees. This is unacceptable. I'm Scott Satterberg. We're just getting underway. Lots to get into. A lot of games in progress. A lot of games coming up that we have bets on as well. This is Primetime right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime, I'm Scott Satterberg with you here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And just like that, the Yankees are down 1-0. Nolan Schanuel with a solo home run off of Ryan Yarbrough in the top of the first inning. So the Angels with an early 1-0 lead over the Yankees before the Yankees even get in at bat yet. And the market not adjusting. Nope. Yankees were -250 favorites to start this game over the Angels. Actually, here at Circa closed -256. But despite being down 1-0, your live market right now up on DraftKings, Yankees -225. I understand it, right? The Yankees didn't even bat yet, so why are we all of a sudden going to make them a big adjustment on the price? Let's let them bat and see what happens here in the first inning. And also, this is just about Jack Kekanowicz. Like, the Yankees should score off of Kekanowicz. If they don't, like I said, because of their issues, something has to change. Something has to change. The last time the Yankees faced Jack Kekanowicz was earlier, last month or so, May 26th, four runs on five hits in 6 2/3 innings, five strikeouts, two walks for Kekanowicz against the Yankees. This is a guy who has given up at least two or more runs in his last five consecutive starts. Four or more runs in four of those five starts. No excuse for the Yankees to not score runs tonight. But we're going to keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on all the games in progress and give you some live betting opportunities as these games move along. Still no score between the Phillies and the Marlins in the bottom of the third inning there in Miami. No hits for the Marlins in the first two innings. The Phillies just one hit in the first inning, nothing in the second or the third. In the bottom of the first inning, the Blue Jays are on the board. An early 1-0 lead here over the Diamondbacks. Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for Arizona, and Bo Bichette homering for the Blue Jays to lead off the game. So an early start here for Toronto over Arizona. Now, Arizona's a team that I have been on this network on a variety of shows, hopping all aboard the fade train, right? We are anti-Arizona Diamondbacks. This is a team that is slumping. This is a team that is fading. This is a team that down the stretch, in my opinion, should and will be sellers. Because there's too many injuries. The season's not going the right way. They're not going to compete in that division. They need to think about the future. And so one major piece, actually two major pieces, that I look at with Arizona, and maybe three, because they got players, certainly three good players, talented players, that are going to be free agents at the end of the year. Zach Gallen's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And Zach Gallen hasn't been right this season. I mean, no one's going to argue that. He just hasn't been the Zach Gallen that we know and love on the mound for Arizona. But they have two offensive players that any team out there would love to acquire. And the team that I think is going to make a move for one of these Arizona players and should make a move for one of these Arizona players is the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox trade away Rafael Devers. Blockbuster move that came down on Sunday. And I tweeted out on Sunday night that this move is not a move that's made in a vacuum. I think this move is a precursor to another move. You don't just free up the money so that you can go spend it on soccer players for Liverpool, right? You free up the money because you're going to acquire another player and you're going to pay said player. Yes, the Red Sox have a ton of young talent that they can certainly say, we want to give at-bats to the young kids. And the Red Sox came away with the win here earlier today, winning 2 out of 3 in Seattle against the Mariners. And boy, this Mariners offense, they can't. You want to talk about the Yankees struggling. I mean, at least the Mariners have scored some runs, but they can't hit. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox. And losing another start here by Luis Castillo, going back to the start of last season, in games started by Luis Castillo, George Kirby, and Logan Gilbert, the Mariners have a losing record. And I would venture Mariners were favored in a lot of those games. They weren't today because Garrett Crochet was on the mound for the Red Sox, and Garrett Crochet continues to have an all-star season, 7-4 now with the 2-2 ERA. But the Red Sox take 2 of 3 from the Mariners, so they were feeling okay after the Devers trade. But don't be blinded by the wins. The Red Sox scored 5 runs in the 3 games in Seattle. They scored 5 runs on 8 hits in those games. Like, think about it. Like, they scored 2 runs in the shutout victory in the first game of the series on Monday, where it was, I mean, the Mariners had opportunities that couldn't do it, but Lucas Giolito was great, struck out 10 batters. Logan Gilbert struck out 10 as well. Then they get shut out yesterday. And then they win 3-1 here today. This Red Sox offense is nowhere near what they need it to be if they're going to make a postseason run. And so I think the Boston Red Sox need to make a move, and a move that they can make, there's two of them, either or, but you call up the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are not going anywhere, who should be sellers, who have 2 big-time hitters that will be free agents at the end of the year, in Gino Suarez, who's a third baseman, but you can put him at DH, big-time power threat, or first baseman Josh Naylor. And that fills a void for the Boston Red Sox, who tried to get Devers to play first base. He was unwilling to move positions. And without Tristan Casas for the rest of the season, you have a void at first base. You can get a good hitting first baseman in Josh Naylor from Arizona. Solves your problems. I think that's a move the Red Sox can make. Or there's other first basemen out there as well. Rhys Hoskins, he's a little bit older, but Naylor's 27 years old, will be a free agent at the end of the year. I think that's a great move for Boston. I just don't think that Boston stays with this roster as presently constituted. I think that there is a move to be made for the Red Sox in the wake of this Rafael Devers trade. Speaking of Rafael Devers, the Giants will take on the Guardians tonight. Second game of that 3-game series where the Giants did lose last night, but Rafael Devers was as good as advertised, or almost as good as advertised. 2 for 5, including an RBI double in the third inning. So he goes over his hits prop, total bases. He goes over hits plus runs plus RBIs. I'm actually going to be back on that train tonight, going over hits plus runs plus RBIs for Rafael Devers in San Francisco against the Guardians. But he was great yesterday. And in the 9th inning also, down by 1 run in the 9th inning with a runner on, he got a key single that put a little pressure on Emmanuel Clase and the Guardians. Clase winds up loading the bases, getting out of the jam. Guardians win. Giants will look to avenge that loss tonight. Justin Verlander coming off the IL to make the start for the Giants tonight. And I do like Rafael Devers to continue to contribute to this offense. This is a good Giants team now, a really good Giants team. They're going to compete with the Phillies, in my opinion, for the fourth best team in the National League. We know the three division winners, and the Phillies could still be that division winner. We never know. But Mets, Cubs, and Dodgers are clearly separating themselves atop the divisions. And then the wild cards, the next, you know, we have multiple wild cards, so I think the Giants are a playoff team. But they're probably the next best team in the National League. It's Phillies and the Giants. Phillies, Giants, and Padres. Those are the next three best teams in the National League right now. So I think this Giants team is poised to go on a little run here. And also, keep in mind, they got money to spend also. They could make moves as we get closer to the trade deadline throughout the summer. They could make additional moves. And they still are waiting for Matt Chapman to come back off the IL and play third base. So as deep as this lineup is, when Chapman comes back, they get even deeper. With Rafael Devers now, they get even deeper. It's a dangerous team. I like the, I like this Giants team. I think I'm a little bit higher, maybe a little bit higher than some, but I think for good reason on this San Francisco Giants team. Coming up next, we're going to shift gears, get into the NBA Finals. Game number 6 is tomorrow in Indiana. We've had a lot of spread movement with the uncertainty about Tyrese Halliburton's availability, whether he plays or he doesn't play. I still think the game ends the same way. But our very own Zachary Cohn will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Pacers. Can they avoid elimination and force a game 7? Or if they don't, can they at least keep it close and cover what appears to be an inflated number right now? If you want to make smarter bets this football season, it starts with a VSiN Pro subscription. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of $175. That gives you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. I can tell you right now, I just submitted today one of my season-long best bets, a 30-1 awards future. You're going to want to take a look at that. You're also going to get a daily best bets email with our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows. That's all on the VSiN Watch app, of course, and everything that VSiN.com offers, analytics and betting tools. So don't miss out on this early bird deal. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Our very own Zachary Cohn will join me, Scott Seidenberg, coming up next right here on Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on VSiN Primetime, I'm Scott Seidenberg here with you. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. You can hit up our next guest on Twitter at BettingOnX. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, our very own Zachary Cohn. You read his incredible work at VSiN.com as we preview Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Zach, thanks so much for joining us. We have a little bit of spread drama between the Thunder and the Pacers as we move from 5, 5.5 to 6.5 in favor of the Thunder laying the points. And understandably, because of the uncertainty surrounding Tyrese Halliburton, what's the latest that you're seeing on Halley and your expectations of his availability here for Game 6?
Well, I think that there were some quotes this morning that said that Halliburton, you know, they're preparing to play without him. But I think at the same time, Carlisle said they're preparing to play with him and without him. They're going to be ready to go no matter what. So I think that kind of got taken out of context. I think he's a game time decision. I've seen some videos of him running around looking decent. I'd be surprised if he does not play. The question is, as I said to you off the air, I'm not sure if they're better off with him playing injured or just playing McConnell and Nembhard more and, you know, giving them bigger roles with the ball in their hands, because this team is in such good shape at the point guard position where it's not like a normal team where you get the big drop off when a superstar is out. You're putting in a player that, you know, McConnell has been their best point guard for two straight games now.
To that extent, would we be looking to attack some TJ McConnell props?
Yeah, I mean, I'm waiting for some news before that, but I do think that McConnell props would be a good way to go. I think that Siakam over on assists is another way to go, just because he's a really good passer and they do put the ball in his hands a lot. I could see them giving him a bigger usage rate in this game if Halliburton's out. And I like Obi Toppin again to go over 10.5 points, which is something we've seen him do two games in a row. Miles Turner continues to struggle in this series, just not really moving his feet well enough defensively, not knocking down threes. I think we're going to see bigger minutes from Toppin again, especially with this being a home game where, you know, Toppin's going to shoot the ball a little bit better, provide a little bit in transition, and also, you know, a little bit as a rim runner and an attacker of the basket. He's very, very quick, and you know, the Thunder are having trouble staying in front of him.
We've seen an adjustment just yesterday. TJ McConnell's point prop was at 9.5. Now it is up to 10.5. It is juiced at the under, but it is at 10.5, and I guess that's just every day it's going to change here with the uncertainty or until we get a final word on Tyrese Halliburton's availability, if he's going to start and how many minutes he's going to play in this game. You mentioned, are they better off with or without Halliburton? I'm not necessarily sold on Hallie as a star player. I think I've made my opinions well known. I don't want to say I'm a Tyrese Halliburton hater. I've been making some money on the point PRAs going under in this series. I'm going to look to attack every under on Tyrese Halliburton in this game, because even if he does play Zach, he's not going to play the full complement of minutes. And for some reason, in my mind, I see this game getting out of hand. And if that's the case, we know Halliburton's going to play even less minutes. So I'm going to be on all Hallie unders here.
I don't think it's going to get out of hand. I'm personally on the Pacers in this game. I think it's going to be a little bit close, but I do think there's a world in which Halliburton starts and doesn't end up playing a lot in the second half. I mean, this is a player that, even when he's at his healthiest, is attackable on the defensive end. He's not a good defender. I do think that part of the Thunder game plan is getting him into actions and running at him. Well, when he is injured, they're going to keep attacking him even more. So they're going to try to play him off the floor. And if he's not like living up to his normal standard offensively, Carlisle's going to yank him. Like I said before, they have better options than a 50% Halliburton. So if he's not playing up to his usual self, doesn't look right, I just don't see him playing, you know, 35 plus in this game.
So what do the Pacers have to do to change the results from what we saw in game number 5 and keep this close and give themselves a chance to win?
They need to take care of the basketball. I mean, that was a 2-point game with 8 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and Nembhard had two really bad turnovers, one of them that which went the other way for a pick 6. I just think that they need to control, you know, the tempo of this game. They need to keep, you know, the Thunder from getting runouts for easy buckets. And I do think they just need to do a better job of defending the 3-point line. But that's something that I expect to take care of itself with this being a road game. One of the big things that I wrote over at VSiN.com is just this Oklahoma City team was 0-8 against the spread before game 4 when playing on the road in these playoffs. I don't even think they should have covered in that game. We saw Mathurin with those 2 away from the play fouls, the 3 missed free throws late in that game. Like, it really should have been 0-9 against the spread on the road. So I don't really trust this Thunder team offensively still. For as good as Jalen Williams looked in game 5, for as good as Chet Holmgren has looked at times throughout this series, this is a team that has, you know, had unproven shot making outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And especially when you're talking about 3-point shooting from some of the role players like Wallace and Wiggins, those guys were factors again in game 5. They were not trustworthy at all in games 3 and game 4, to the point that Mark Daigneault couldn't even play them. So if those guys are not confident in knocking down shots in game 6, I think the Pacers are going to be able to keep this close.
Talking to our very own Zach Cohen, read his incredible work at vsin.com. You can follow him at Betting on X. He joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime as we take a look at game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow. You just mentioned it, Zach, the struggles shooting for the Oklahoma City Thunder, especially from 3-point range in game number 4. It reversed itself in game 5, and that's natural going from on the road to being at home. If we expect the shooting to regress once again now that we are back in Indy, any specific players that we want to go under a 3-point prop on?
I mean, I'd maybe be looking at the guys I just mentioned, like Wallace and Wiggins. Okay. I mean, the numbers are going to be really small to begin with, so it's going to be tough to do it. But I could see, you know, Wiggins not even knocking down one. I mean, he did not miss in that game 5, but he's not going to be quite as confident going on the road. And I think these are guys that played 9 minutes in game 4. So, like I said, if they're not knocking down shots and they're not giving their coach confidence, they're not going to play. The last game we saw these teams play in Indiana, it was six guys playing for the Thunder, and I do think we're going to see that again. So I think maybe looking at the unders with some of the guys that are on the outskirts of the rotation is a smart way to attack it.
Plus money prices on both Aaron Wiggins and Cason Wallace to go under a half a three. So if they go 0 for 3 or 0 for 4, whatever their shooting is, you get plus money on both of those players if you want to go under. And if you want to go under on Shea, under 1.5, you want to go under on Lu Dort, under 1.5 also at plus money for Lu Dort. Well, Jalen Williams was the star of game number 5. So what do we expect to see from him in game number 6? Is that something that maybe Mark Daigneault and the Thunder figured out, giving the ball more to Jalen Williams, having him being the primary ball handler, bringing the ball up the floor and being the main focal point of the offense other than Shea? Or do we expect it to then drop down to the Pacers, who have been very good defensively in their own right in making adjustments? We all know how good Rick Carlisle is as a head coach. Do they make the adjustment now? What do we expect from Jalen Williams here?
I think we're going to see another big Williams game, because I just do think that it was a strategic plan to get the ball out of SGA's hands a little bit more. I think they were just putting a little bit too much on the MVP in this series, and they realized they have a really good second option. So I think Williams can kind of be trusted to score again. It's the guys like Chet and Dort and Caruso that I don't expect to play very well on the road. So I do kind of think that Williams has figured this out, but I don't know. I just think that this is a game that, you know, the Pacers are going to be able to score on the Thunder playing at home. And one thing I will add is I do think that the total has dropped a little bit too much, because if Halliburton is out, I don't think they're going to be playing much slower with TJ McConnell in there. I think McConnell is a guy that likes to get up the floor, try to get some easy buckets, and the Thunder just have had a lot of trouble keeping him out of the paint. So I saw it go down to 222.5. I thought it was worth mentioning that is a pretty steep drop when you're talking about a team that's still going to want to play fast.
And dropped even more, Zach, 221.5 here at Circa at 222. And I kind of lean with you. I know historically game sixes go under. Right, the later you get in a series, the more the unders hit. Game 6 is in game 7, but this has been an over series. And if you just look at, as you mentioned, the pace that these teams play at, even without Halliburton, I still think they're going to run up and down the floor. So I do like the over with you as well. Zach, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Great article at vsin.com. We'll continue to read, and good luck with your bets. I know you got that Pacers future. I'm not going to ask you about any hedging opportunities. I know you're riding the Pacers here in this game. So good luck to you, my friend.
It was just Eastern Conference, so I'm out. I'm good there.
All right, there he is, our very own Zach Cohen. Hit him up on Twitter at BettingOnX. Read his incredible work at vsin.com as he joined us there on the Progressive Guest Line previewing Game 6 of the NBA Finals. I talked about that total dropping down to 221. Here at Circa is at 222. And yes, Game 6s do historically go under, but not in recent years. I have some trends that might open your eyes a little bit to what we can expect to see here in game number 6 of the NBA Finals. But if you want to know where the real money is going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving the insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings providing a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Again, that's vsin.com/subscribe. I mentioned trends when it comes to game 6 of the NBA Finals, not just about the total in this game, but also why this series will end tomorrow night. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. It's prime time here on the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSIN Prime Time on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The streak is over. After 30 consecutive scoreless innings, the New York Yankees have finally scored a run. Jazz Chisholm with a solo home run in the bottom of the second has tied the game for the Yankees against the Angels 1-1 as we are in the top of the third inning in the Bronx. The Yankees' scoreless drought is over, and history will not be made tonight. The New York Yankees have still never been shut out in four consecutive games. At least they have that one going for them. I'm Scott Satterberg. This is VSiN Primetime here on the Sports Betting Network. We were talking about the NBA Finals. Game number six is tomorrow. And I wanted to go over some interesting trends as it relates to both the sides and the total for this game. Now, we know that game six and game seven are typically under spots to bet in when it comes to an NBA playoff series. The later in the series you go, the more these games go under. Just looking back through the history of our database, which goes back to 2002, if we look at unders in game number six, it's a 66% bet to just bet the unders in game six of a playoff series. But if you go back to post-COVID, so just the start of the 2021 season and till now, 16 and 15 to the under in game sixes, but 8-2 to the over in the last 10. So the last 10 NBA playoff game sixes, 8 of them have gone over the total. I found that fascinating because it's counterintuitive to what, you know, I initially was thinking, right? Hey, it's a game six of the NBA playoffs. We like to go under. And the market has reacted accordingly, not just because it's a game six, but also because of the Tyrese Haliburton injury. And so this total has been pushed down. But we are at a point right now at 222 here at Circa, 221.5 in the rest of the market, where it's too low. And the over is the way that I want to play this because this series has played at an over pace. And look at those numbers. 8 of the last 10 game sixes have gone over. Maybe the market and the bettors for certain have maybe overreacted to these trends of just game sixes have always gone under. Because lately they've been going over. And the numbers may be being bet down too low. And I think that even without Tyrese Haliburton, the Pacers can still score points. Plus, I just think the Thunder score a ton of points. This series is over tomorrow, in my opinion. Here's what I looked at as we talk about trends in the NBA playoffs. And I found this to be very interesting. Take the Haliburton injury out of it. The Thunder opened up at -5 to -5.5. Now there's been an adjustment to -6.5. So you want to talk about a point to a point and a half adjustment for the Tyrese Haliburton uncertainty? I get that. And speaking of the Tyrese Haliburton uncertainty as to whether he plays or not, both teams had media availability here on Wednesday. And let's hear from Tyrese Haliburton on his injury.
Nothing more than you've already seen. I practiced today, did what I could. I know coach told you guys what the process will be tomorrow for me to play. And yeah, we're just taking it from there.
Well, speaking of coach, let's hear from Rick Carlisle on Haliburton's participation in said practice.
Yeah, he participated in all our walkthrough stuff. So, but it's a walkthrough, so it's not. There was no real running or moving or anything. So, so we'll see. We'll see how where we are tomorrow. It's a topic that people want to hear about and know about, and there's going to be a lot of questions about it. But we will not really know for sure until late tomorrow afternoon or early evening. We did a 30-minute walkthrough. We did about 25 minutes of film, then a 30-minute walkthrough, and he was able to do both of those things.
So Haliburton's uncertainty aside, and it seems like he's going to play in this game, but he's not going to be 100%, and he's probably not going to play a full complement of minutes either. But even before the Haliburton injury concerns, the Thunder still opened up at -5, right? This is important because I want to think, I want you all to think with me as we talk this out loud. What does it mean for an NBA series to get to six games or to get to seven games? But let's forget about seven games for now. And let's just talk about what does it mean for a series to get to six games? Well, it means that both teams have at least won two games. And it also means that perhaps the teams are a little bit closer than initially thought of. Makes sense, right? Because if this was a one-sided series where one team was so much better than the other team, this wouldn't get to six games. It would either be a sweep or the series would be over in five games. In fact, coming into this series, that was the betting favorite, was for this series to go under 5.5 games. So for this series to go, for any series, regardless of the teams, for any series to go six games, we have to admit that it's the teams should be a little bit closer than what was initially thought, because both teams have won two games. So if we go by that thought process, that we're at a game six of a playoff series, but yet the home team is an underdog. The home team in game six is an underdog. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that despite winning two games at least, because, you know, they could be up 3-2, but we're just going to say despite winning at least two games in the series, because obviously we don't get to a game six unless they won at least two games. Despite winning those games, they're still an underdog at home. So that means that one team has to be viewed as significantly better than the other team. And despite losing at least two games in the series, that significantly better team is still thought of to be significantly better. Meaning that that better team probably messed up and lost a game or two they shouldn't have lost. And so what have we seen in this series? The Thunder lost game one where they shouldn't have lost. And the market adjusted by making the Thunder a heavier favorite in game number two. Now, in game number three, we give the Pacers all the credit in the world. They were great, and they deserved to win that game. But then the Thunder win game four. Thunder win convincingly in game number five. And now the market has them, forget about the Haliburton stuff for a second, opened at a five-point favorite on the road in game number six. So the market viewing them as significantly better than the Indiana Pacers. Now, why do I keep saying these? Why am I just throwing out random terms? These aren't random words, and I'm trying to build a story here. Because when I look at the history of these games, the story has to connect for me. And if you look at the history going back to 2002, of in the NBA playoffs, when we have an away favorite in game number six, those teams are 40-15 straight up. Against the spread, they are 34-20-1. We're over 60%. And 40-15 straight up, it's because these teams are better. The market views them as better. They're most of the time better, and they win and cover the majority of the time. What about if you're up 3-2 in the series? So you're on the precipice of elimination, of winning the series. You are the road favorite, the better team by the market standards, the power ratings and all that stuff. 31-11 straight up, 28-14 against the spread, winning the game on average by 8.2 points per game. And in the last nine situations where a team was a road favorite in game number six with a chance to finish the series, 7-2 in the last nine tries. I do have to note, though, that the Thunder did lose game six this year in Denver as a road favorite and then won the series in game number seven. But all this, in my opinion, points to the Oklahoma City Thunder not just winning and finishing this series, but covering against the Indiana Pacers in game number six tomorrow night. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, and you can earn cash back rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code PRIME. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Coming up next, the Stanley Cup Final ended in 6 games last night. We have odds for next year's Stanley Cup and a unique handicapping angle that I don't hear anybody talking about right now. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is VSiN Primetime.